week, I was sitting at a fish. Actually, it was at the Suda Shabbat of a lot of guys that are thinking of coming to yeshiva. And I'm trying to think, well, what's the purpose of coming to yeshiva? And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. How I see what our yeshiva's aspirations are. But many people knew it was unbelievable already about the homework that they did already. Is they wanted to know, in your yeshiva, do you know how to flip the pen? I promise you it was there, but it wasn't a pen, so it was Shabbos. Do you know how to flip the fork backwards and forwards? It's like when I grew up when you're playing basketball. Do you know how to dribble with your right hand, dribble with your left hand to show proficiency? So if you're a real yeshiva, then you obviously know how to do all the pen flips. And I had to show them, and because they were so impressed, they came to my tish. Because they saw that I had spent all my time doing the right hand, the left hand, but with all seriousness, and I was serious, that's exactly what happened. The question of the purpose of yeshiva that these guys were thinking about, also many of you were either fed something now, whether you're Shana Bet or you're Shana Aleph, you were fed either a year ago or 2 years ago, that the reason, what are you coming to do to learn in yeshiva? So if you're from England, they told you, it's a gap year. It's a gap year. So that means you got to fill the gap. It's halal. It's rake. There's an empty space before you go to university. So fill it up. Fill up that gap year. So you can either fill it up with tiulim, or you can fill up with Torah. That's, you fill up this rake, this halal, this hole. That's what some people say from the United Kingdom. In America, a lot of times they say, this is your year to learn skills. That I'm going to walk out after 1 year, never having to go to look at an art school. I'm going to make sure, that's my goal. That's my goal. My goal is that after the year of yeshiva, I'm not going to have to look at the art school. Many people. I'm not belittling whatsoever, that, but that might be a means to an end. Being able to pick up skills means to an end. I don't know about the pen flip, but pen skill, the Limud Torah methodology means to an end. What is yeshiva? What is yeshiva? So we already start. Gemara Yuma Daf Chav Ches tells us that as much as Yeshiva HaKotel is celebrating 50 years of yeshiva, Yeshiva HaKotel wasn't the first yeshiva. Avram Avinu learned in yeshiva, says the Gemara Yuma Daf Chav Ches. Avram Avinu Zakein V'Yoshev B'Yeshiva. He was old, which is interesting. The Gemara emphasizes that he was old. And use Yoshe B'Yeshiva. Because I thought people are young supposed to come to yeshiva. So this is talking about this is the source of the retirees' kova. That's the idea. But Avram Avinu was Zakein V'Yoshe B'Yeshiva Haya. Shenemar V'Avram Zakein Baba Yamin. Last week's parsha. Perchav Dal Posaka. Yitzchak Avinu was a Zakein V'Yoshe B'Yeshiva Haya. This week's parsha. Vahi Ki Zakein Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu was a Zakein, the Yoshe B'Yeshivaya, Shneemar Ve'inei Yisrael Kavadu Mizokin. His eyes, old, talks about Eliezer Eved Avraham, last week's parasha, also was Zakein Yoshe B'Yeshiva, because he was Zakan Beito Moshe B'Cholar Shelo. What does it mean? Number one, what does it mean that Zakein, just stop telling me, the old age? And what does it mean to be Yoshevi Yeshiva? We're now Bnei Yeshiva. What's the purpose of Yeshiva? So many people have described for years that when you're going to go to Yeshiva, it's the Yushalayim Shalmalov, Yushalayim Shalmalov, Yushalayim Shalmalov. It's the Yom Kippur of Yom Kippurs of Yom Kippurs. And what they meant by that was the Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel said, what is yeshiva? What does it mean that you were being Yoshev in yeshiva? Says Rabbeinu Chananel very succinctly, he quotes this Gemara and he says, what does it mean that Avram Avinu was Yoshib and Yeshiva? Face to face with the Shechina, being Yeshiva, and we know this, even for the little bit that we're here, the Talichim, the certain development that we've had in personal growth, where the subculture of Yeshiva is Talmud Torah Kenegad Kula. The subculture of Yeshiva is, are you working on your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Part of that, Rav Shimon Shkop explains in his introduction to the Shar Yosher, that's what it means, Zakein Yoshev Yeshiva. And Avram Avinu Davka by Zikna, being elderly, was he understood the depth of being able to go and have a Rebbe and search in deeper and deeper and deeper, understanding what it means to delve into a sugya, to be able to understand the depths of Torah, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch. See, yeshiva, when we say about this experience, a lot of people think it's this, what I said before, Yom Kippur. And a lot of people then would describe it as a cave experience. The concept of going into the cave. That's what Rabbi Lam, in his 1997 speech, called it going into the cave. Go to the cave. What was he referring to? He was referring to the Gemara and Shabbos of Shimon bar Yochai and his son, that what? Running away from the Roman authorities. Gemara and Shabbos explains that they went there for 12 years, learned Torah, had some carib there, some miracles. They learned for 12 years shtark in the yeshiva of the cave. The cave yeshiva, totally with no Wi-Fi, learning Torah, neto, mamish, the shechina, cave experience. Seemingly, we have two different models of yeshivot that we're introduced to. We have the model of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak, and we have the model of Shem Ve'Aver. And fascinatingly, they're actually described in two different types. For example, the Rambam, when he contrasts Shem Ve'Aver and Avram Avinu in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says that there's a fundamental difference between the yeshiva of Avram Avinu and the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver. The Rambam says, after Avram Avinu discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nolad Amudo Shel Olam in Halacha Bet, he says that he started understanding, started thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says it can't be without a greater entity. And then the Rambam continues and says that what did he do? He went after smashing all the idols, and then the king wanted to kill him. V'nasalones yatzala charan v'tchil lamod v'likro b'kol gadol l'kol ha'olam ulo diyam shiyesh sham eloka echal l'chol ha'olam. Avram Avinu started calling publicly, telling everybody there was a God in the world and you have to worship him. But that wasn't enough for Avram Avinu. He would go and gather the nation from city to city. He was a frequent traveler. Matmid points, not on the all now. But he went from place to place. Mamacha le mamacha. At Shigia Eretz Canaan, the Chiddush of the Rambam. Is he in the Torah? It just sounds like he went to Haran, and then he went straight to what? Went straight to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam says that Avram Avinu was mamish the shliach of the Rebbe being a Kaddish Baruch. But mamish going from city to city, from place to place, for what? The Krov Shem Hashem. To clarify, the Rebbe is Zatzal. I didn't mean that, but I want to make sure everyone's awake. Vayam Mehalech. I saw everyone starting to look at me. I don't wear my Yechiyat Nina Marina Barabinu Kippah as much as I respect the Rebbe Zechron Tzadik Lebrach. Vayam Mehalech Vikore Umikabitam. Avram Avinu would go from place to place, from city to city, from Amlacha to Amlacha, Ad Shigil Eretz Canaan. Vukore Shneimar Vayikros Shem Sham B'Shem Hashem Elolam. And then what happened? The came and Shayua Am Mitzkapsin Elav. They would all come to him. B'Shalim Lo'ad Varav. He said, "What's the story with this guy?" Hayamodia L'Kol Echad V'Echad Kefi Dato. Just like the Haggadah, everybody we would tell him. Each one he knew how to package. He knew how to speak to people. Ad Shiachzireyu L'Derech Ha'Emet. So they saw the truth. Ad Shinitkapsu Elav Alpayim. The Rivavot, thousands and tens of thousands of Tamidim, and it's called Anche Beit Abraham. The Shatal Billy Bam Ha'ikara Gadol Hazeh, he implanted this unbelievable fundamental tenet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chiber Bo Svarim, and then we get to our parsha. Vahudio Li Yitzchak Beno, very small press for Yitzchak. And he talks about then about Yaakov. What happened? Where is Shem Ve'Aver? Where is the sheep? We know that Yaakov Avinu, what happens? Beginning of next week's parsha, Vayishka b'makom ahu. What does Yaakov Avinu do? He goes to Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver for 14 years. Where was Shem Ve'Aver? The Rambam previously had called the Yechidim in the world. The Rambam previously had said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forgotten. It was only known by Yechidim. Who are these Yechidim? The end of Halacha Bet. Chanoch, Metushelach, Noach, and Shem Ve'Aver. And here the Kesef Mishnah, the Ravid, the Migdal Oz, they all struggle with what's the difference between Yeshivat Shem Ve'Aver and Yeshivat Abraham. In the simple pshat, in the Rambam, is what we've all learned. Is that Yeshivat Shem Ve'Aver was the cave. They were afraid of all the outside influences. And therefore they wouldn't go out. Somebody wants to come in, Givaldik, Bruchim Abayim. But they were what we were known for the last 20 years in Eretz Yisrael, the Yeshiva experience in Israel. That was Yeshivat Shem Ve'Aver. Everyone would have come there. You'll speak to all your parents and grandparents. They'll say, that's what the year in Israel is. The year in Israel is that cave experience. You go and you just learn Torah and you love Torah. And somehow you just, and just unbelievable. It's different than the seminary experience where they're always calling home asking what to make for pasta. Do I make it tonight? What do I do here? Because you guys don't have to make food. You just go out and buy food on daddy's credit card. Right? It's a different experience than seminaries. But that was the yeshiva experience. And the reason we know that there have been essays, Rav Shalom Berger wrote an essay, an in-depth study of studying Israel, of the question, and then there's a book called Flipping Out. Everyone's heard that because they just know the song. It's like, you don't know the Pasuk in Tanakh, it's a Gemara, right? Same thing with like Flipping Out. It's not really a book. It was a Niggin. It's a Niggin on YouTube, right? The truth is it's a book. There's an analysis, a sociological survey. But what happened? What happened? Well, without going through all the chakiras in the book, the part of the pshat is that yeshiva was this cave experience. You would basically send your kid to Israel and you hope you picked. It wasn't like you guys understand that. Nowadays, you guys have seen. Guys are always visiting with their parents, being able to sit in shir,
go to seven, either you go to three yeshivas, five yeshivas, you're going, you're using your Gemara cup already in analysis, what exactly is the difference between this yeshiva, that yeshiva, ino doma shmiya to re'iya. Therefore, you're saying if I'm paying 25 grand already, so at least let me make a good investment, become a good educated consumer. That's not how it was. For 20 plus years, yeshiva in Israel, what's this cave experience? You weren't able to call home. Can you imagine that? You weren't able, this is like in the history books, but you weren't able, I'm sure all your parents tell you, yeah, when I was in Israel, there's a thing called an asimon. There's an asimon, you're like, asimon, I think I learned that in the Gemara in Ezo Aneshech. And I'm saying like, that's not real currency, right? It's a fifth parakin bav mitzvah, an asimon. They used to have these cards, a thing called a telegram. That's what the telegram, it's like you feel like we're talking in the 1900s before they like invented email, you know? Before they invented like WhatsApp, there was a thing called a telegram that you would do is you would go into the post office, because the post office here in Israel, as many of you have learned, is a kolboynik. You can do everything you want in the post office. It's unbelievable. Bank. It's like you can have a bank there, you can buy milk there, you can do everything in the post office. So something in Israel, everything's in the post office. So that's what they had, the telegram. You'd go to the telegram and it was this annoying thing where you needed to like write a letter and then you'd fold it in 25 different ways. It was annoying as could be, but that's how you then sent a letter home. And 3 weeks later, they found out what you did at the beginning of Chodesh Kislev. It's like, as opposed to Rabbi Terry putting up on Facebook that you sneezed. Mazel tov, happy birthday! Happy birthday! Unbelievable! You sneezed on Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Smile. Because, and therefore, there is no... is this a cave experience? There's a difference, but that was yeshiva. Yeshiva was the Shiva the Aver experience, at least according to how the Mefarshim are explaining what the Shiva the Aver was, as opposed to the Avram Avinu yeshiva. The Avram Avinu yeshiva is what? I'm not just going to take care of my own Dalai Lamas. Avram Avinu says, I have to be Metakein et Ha'olam. I have to go from place to place to be able to what? The Krov Hashem Hashem? Shout over there. Which is right? Which is right? What's yeshiva? What's the yeshiva for right now in the 21st century? What's fascinating, that's one model. That's one model of yeshiva Shiva Eber according to how the Rambam depicts it. You have Avram Avinu trying to be mitaken et kol ha'olam, which is amazing that he didn't have any podcast of that stuff. He was going from place to place. He was able just to go. Meaning, it's unbelievable. When I travel now, meaning, I keep some couple of shirim, it's scary that when you go and I travel from place to place, everyone's like, yeah, I just heard your shir. And literally, I was in England last Shabbat, and the guy introduced me. He's like, yeah, I heard your Mishle shir on Sunday. Yeah, I'm like, oh, really? And people are like, yeah, I've been an internet Talmud for a while. And I'm like, yeah, so send me questions. But that's the Avram Avinu. Of being able to go from place to place. That's one model of the yeshiva. The Pumfa Kert model, the opposite model, the Emes Liakov, or Yaakov Kamenetsky, asks the same question. But he actually phrases it in the opposite way. Fascinating. He says that Yaakov goes for what? Yaakov goes to learn in Shem De'Aver for 14 years. What? He had the best Rebbeim in the world. Avram and Yitzchak. Avram is the paradigmatic mechanich. He is the daddy of all daddies. He is the giant of giants. Chazal talked about with him, Kan Matchila Torah. The Chatam Sofer says, Avram Avinu, Hashem says, HaMechaseh Ani MeAvraham. Am I going to hold back what I'm going to do for Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu, who's the person who's spreading Shem Hashem the whole world, maybe he's lacking in certain... You hear all the pen flips? You hear all the Bittul Torah going on? HaMechaseh Ani MeAvraham Asher Ani Oseh. It's like a sickness. Mamash a sickness. The Chatam Sofer says, Avram Avinu, is it possible I'm not going to tell him what I'm going to be doing to stone? What was Yaakov thinking? Ask Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. What was he thinking? What did he have to go to Shem Aver for 14 years? That what could he not get in the yeshiva of Avram and Yitzchak? And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says a different model of what the yeshiva of Shem Be'Ever was. He explains that Shem Be'Ever, that Yaakov Avinu was about, obviously he says that by Avram the Avos, there are Yoshim the yeshiva, according to Gemara that we just said, Marbit Torah, the Beis Medrash of Avos was a tremendous emunah, Avodas Hashem, totally what he calls the cave, what I'm going to call the cave now, but that's how he describes it. Avos, full of Kedusha, totally not influenced from the outside. But then comes Shem Ve'Ever. Shem, the son of Noach, being saved from Dor HaMabul, but also from the Sviva of the Anshei Dor HaMabul and all their corruption. Ever, being born at the time of the Dor HaPalaga, people who wanted to rebel and have all the svaris, using all their thumbs of Nasa Lanu Shem to be Moreid Ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu. But they were able to properly use their kochot not to fall under the trap of the sviva, of the environment around them, and they kept their tzidkut. Only Shem Ve'Ever, who experienced all of the difficulties of what we would call the Western world now. All these difficulties. That's where Yaakov had to go for 14 years to prepare for the loved ones in the world. This is what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky calls Torah Chutzlach. He needed to go to Shem Ve'Ever to be able to say, I'm not going to be a friar. Oh, this guy, he's learning Torah. Nebuch. How is he going to be able to present himself? How is he going to be able to know when he walks out of the Kosle Beis HaMedrash that he's going to be able to say in Lavan Garti and Taryag Mitzvot Shamart? How is he going to be able to do that? Many people walk out of the yeshiva and they ask that question in the most innocent way. They say, how am I going to maintain? I know I'm still in the beginning of yeshiva, but this is hopefully so a lot of food for thought of what yeshiva is supposed to be. They say, how am I supposed to maintain what I got in yeshiva? In itself, the question itself is faulty in its root. Ki'ilu, the assumption of the question is that yeshiva is this gap year. I'm supposed to fill it in, and it's like a savings account. And therefore, the second I walk out of yeshiva, what do you have to do? It's withdrawal after withdrawal after withdrawal, withdrawal, and then you're in Minas and you're Israeli. You know, that's what people think. That's what yeshiva is. So which is it? Whichever way you presented it. I mean, we have two different models. You have how the Rambam and the Mefarshim explain it, and you see how Yaakov Kamenetsky explained it, the opposite ways, but the question comes, whichever way you want to look at it, what's yeshiva lakota? What is it supposed to be? Is it this cave experience that was 25 years ago that Rabbi Lam had talked about that we're not supposed to be in caves? Why did Rabbi Lam say that? What is it supposed to be for us? I believe that we can encapsulate and understand, in my opinion, that it's Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim. That that's what yeshiva is supposed to be. For someone to say that yeshiva is not a surreal experience, is not that Yom Kippur cave experience, then there's a problem. Then you're not disconnecting enough. Then you are on your Facebook too much. You are on the phone. Literally, I was walking right before Mincha at 1:17. You know the time when it's like mutter? Other yeshivas have like no Torah Tuesday. We have like from 1:10 to 1:20, and I'm obviously being very mako here. You know, from 1:10 to 1:20, it's Asr Lo Torah, right? I feel like I'm Rabbi Tarragon now, right? It's Asr, it's mutter, right? You have that time. It's literally unbelievable. There was a shear there, and literally I walked by, and it was like every single person's on their phone. It's like unbelievable, like looking at the phone. Now the question is, they're obviously all looking at the sources on the phone. Yeah, I could be Malam Mitzchus, but I'm not a Temel. Yeah, come on. But to say that yeshiva is mamish normal life is also not true. It's partially not true. You're not with your parents. You don't have to walk the dog. You don't have your annoying sister. You don't have all these other responsibilities. There is no doubt about it that yeshiva has to have an element of that Yom Kippur experience, of that cave experience, it must. And if you don't have that, then all you're doing is what we call checking the boxes. I'm doing 3-star. Look at me. Smile. Great. And now I'm eligible for either an MMY girl or a Shalavim girl. Mazel Tov. Chaim. We'll send you an email invitation. Yeah, I'm there. It's great. Now I got my sweatshirt. I got my cup. What else do I have to buy? I'll go with Yachad. I'll go run and dance. It's all good. I made it to Yeshiva HaKotel. Cave experience is definitely important. It's important to have that idea to be able to say and to recognize this point is huge, which is, Rabbi, I'm not going to be like this for the rest of my life. In 7 years from now, am I going to be learning 3-star a day? Very few people in this room are going to be learning 3-star a day. I have a little small little hint for you. That's fine. That's the chachim. To be able to recognize right now that what you're doing now is extremely special and you need to take advantage of this time and not just tick the boxes and say, look, here's the nafkamina. I learned 15 hours a day, so therefore I can go out and hang out for 3 hours over here or over there. Right? Use the thumb. That's looking something problematic, because then you're not taking advantage. Then you're not. The Marach or Zaruah. We know the Mishnah Novo says you have to be balanced. Al Torah, Bal Avodah, Bal Gemilut Chasadim. These are the three pillars of the world. How could it be that I'm learning Torah all the time? Where's my Avodah? Where's my Gemilut Chasadim? So, of course, Baruch Hashem, we have a good Chesed program in Yeshiva. Yeah. Which we do believe to find that small little time during your week to make a Torah's Chesed, believe it very strongly, to find that little time, whether it's outside of the Beis Midrash or even inside of the Beis Midrash. Very important. But the Marach or Zeruah says it's true. In all normal times, Torah Avodah Gemilut Chasadim. But there are times to specialize. When a person, lahavdil, is in their first year of medical school, their first year of law school, are they balanced? I guarantee they're not. Definitely not healthy for your first year of marriage. What you do is you hibernate in your first year of law school, first year of medical school. I have many tell me then that I know this by talking to them, by learning with them, speaking to them. You're totally immersed in that first year. Hours and hours of shifts if you're studying, et cetera, for a doctor, a lawyer, Is that normal life? Of course it's not. Is it necessary? 100%. You have to specialize. This is your year, says the Marach or Zaruah, specialize in the sugyas. To be able to work hard and say, I know the Sechet Shabbos, the first couple of blot, Gemara Rashi Tosfos. I know some of the Rishonim. I can go and speak to Rav Nevinson on the sugyas because I'm holding the sugyas. I have that ability because I'm in my cave experience. And that's a lechachil. To be able to go and recognize the opportunity that you have to be in that subculture of Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. To be able to walk around, you have a kasha, you can ask a Shana Bet guy, a Shana Gimel guy, a Shana Dalet guy, a Shana Hey, Vav, Zayin, all the staff, all the Rabbanim around the world, right here, give out. And if they're not here, you can send a quick WhatsApp and you'll get an answer probably at any time in the day. Gan Eden that way. It's the Yom Kippur experience. But oy vavoy, if we understand, and many of us, when you just think about yeshiva, and people say you got to be stark, you got to learn Torah, and all that's true. But if you think that this is it, and you internalize that you know what yeshiva is, yeshiva is the model of life That's the only way of Judaism. It's the basics. This is how it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to be learning Torah 18 hours a day. And if I don't, the second I walk out of yeshiva, ain't shechina. The yeshiva is yesh shechina. That means I'm growing. Once I walk out of yeshiva, yerida. That's it. The second I walk out of yeshiva, the Kosei Beis HaMedrash, that's it. There's no growth. This is where the flipping out syndrome comes from. Because you think that yeshiva is only, this is the only place, and you internalize that this is the only ideal within Judaism. It is no doubt Talmud Torah is connected kulam. But you have the yeshiva of Avraham Avinu as the Rambam, or as Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said at the yeshiva of Shem Be'ev, where you need to be able to understand within our yeshiva in the 21st century, where we're not in the cave. Because one of the negatives of the cave, the pure cave experience, there are two negatives. One negative is that if you think that's what it is, this is Judaism 101, Zetchila and Sofa Kedusha. Then you have what happens, the flipping out. And then 5 years later, what happens? Person, maybe even worse off than he came in. What's the reason? Because he sees yeshiva. He says, that was a nice gap here. And then now he's in the workforce. He's working in PwC. He's working in an advertising agency. He's going to become an actuary. He's going to become a lawyer, a doctor. And he says, what's the connection between my yeshiva experience and quote-unquote real life? Different worlds, totally. Nothing to do with each other. And therefore they say, it was a nice gap year in 2016. Very nice. That's one danger of the cave experience. Because they say there's a total nituk. There's a total foreign experience. The other danger is what the Gemara describes. And we know this, again, for the last 25 years, and that's why there's a lot of tumult with the yeshiva experience. What happens in the Gemara? They come out of the cave after 12 years of learning. And what happens? We're very machmir. We don't have to take 12 years. We take 1 year. We even take by Pesach time, and we're mamish. We take all the 12 years of the cave in Meron, and we're mamish machmir. What do we do? What do the Gemara say? They came out, and everything they saw, what? They saw they were planting and plowing the soil. And you're dealing with this world, normal people. What happens? What does the Gemara say? That everything was charev, everything was burst in flames. They burned everything they saw. They burned. Sound familiar? All of a sudden, you came into yeshiva, this cave experience, and you said, listen to this analogy. You said the Beis Medrash is the only place of growth, and anything out of it is all bidyeved, bishvelut. They all are orthoprax. They're all bidyeved. They're all, it's the Beis Knesset, it's the shul, the amcha. Everything they're doing is mundane and bidyeved. They don't know how to daven. They don't get stuck a well. You keep going. Yeah, they're doing schit on Shabbos. I come back there. I have my eye. Everything is going is wrong. Ever heard about this before? This is the cave experience that happened in the Gemara of Shabbos. Salam and Gimel came out. He said, it's ought to be Kedusha Matara because I was there for 12 years in the yeshiva. Talmud Torah Kenegah Kulam. If it's only the cave experience, then you go out, and what happens?
Burn them.
Burn them! Because they don't know. They don't know. And that's why a lot of people, when they become very cynical outside of yeshiva, they'll say, yeah, just wait. Give it 6 months. You'll detox from your yeshiva experience, and then you'll be fine. And the reason why they're saying that is because the education in yeshiva then is still just a cave experience. It's missing then the shein ve'iver of what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, of being able to educate you to have that pseudo cave experience 100%. But what? Also, mechanech you for responsibility. That there is a connection to the real world when you're in here. Esav, the antithesis of Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev O'alim. How is he the antithesis? The Torah says, Vayivez Esav es ha-bechora. Why was he scorning it so much? You look at Ramosha. Moshe Feinstein is Drash Moshe. He explains that Esav was Vayizev es Esav et ha-bechora. Is that he scorned the responsibility that comes with it. I've told some people here that when I got my, just again, as a nafkamin, I was at the airport and they told me, Ari, forget about everything. It's all about you. It's all about you. That's what this year is about. It's all about you. Forget about everybody. Where's the response? What kind of message is that? That's Yadus. Just care about yourself. That's the cave experience that we have. Because then it becomes a me, myself, and I have to learn. Don't care about anybody else. Head in the book. And there's no Torah's chesed around. Chinuch of responsibility has to be part of the yeshiva experience. You have to be able, the nafkamina comes with a lot of things that happens in this yeshiva. I say it all the time to people, to really mechadev, to really sharpen, that our yeshivas, these two experiences have to be combined. Because we're in Yerushalayim, I don't know if it's because of or not, the nafkaminas come when somebody wants to take you out for dinner at 6:30. We just had it for the Thanksgiving. It's going to come up again. If it's a pure cave experience, so one could say if it's a pure cave experience, they wouldn't come b'chal for dinner. Okay, but we're in Yerushalayim. So they come. So really, it's not a pure cave experience. It's still a cave enough experience. If it's a pure cave experience, there's not even a kasha. It's not a kasha, which means I'm learning 18 hours a day. I get the yeshiva HaKotel food, except for on Tuesdays, you know? Tuesdays is like good pancakes day in the morning. Yesh yamim. There's actually some decent food. For Hezders, we have good food. I know Shane disagrees with me, but we have some good food in different times. We have different foods. I disagree with that statement, but okay. The food's okay. And that's what I tell everybody before I speak to them. The food's okay. You don't come for the food. That's like word for word. Anybody who I talked to before yeshiva, word for word, is sign on the dotted line. So what's the kasha? Why would I not go with my friend's parents to get a good mahadran dinner? I'm learning morning. Nachon? What are you? Are you crazy? You flipped out. Of course you got to go eat dinner. Tovar, it's mode. Mode equals mahadran. What's the kasha? The answer is very simple. You have a responsibility to your chavrusa, to what you're learning. Let's say it's not just a stam friend. Let's say it's your grandfather. So then you get into real world questions. Because if it's just stam, a friend's grandfather who wants to take you out, the cave experience, L'shem Shamayim, the right thing should be, it shouldn't even be a kasha that you shouldn't be going to that dinner. It shouldn't even be a kasha. You have a chrayut, a responsibility to yourself, to your chavruta, to be there. And if you don't view it as a responsibility, it's a problem. That's why some people like to learn by themselves. Because who wants to be responsible to another chavrus? So then I'm a tzaddik, I don't have to worry. Think about it. But then you talk about, have a grandfather coming. then it's not so posh. That's real life. Because what do you have? You have a real dilemma. Which is what? You have your responsibility of Talmud Torah, the Ma'arach Chor Zeruah. You're specializing. This is your year of growth. But then you also have Kibbutz Abba. That's real. That's real stuff. That's a real ethical dilemma. What do you do? If the answer is automatically forget about Sava, that's a problem. That's your cave experience. That's not real. That's not Shane Baver. Because if your Sava would say, I just paid for your yeshiva, and you're going to say, the heck with me, I'll see you for 5 minutes. Who are you? What are you? Do you have any Hakaras HaTov? Do you understand where you come from? But a responsible young man who's living with this dual experience would call him up and say, Sava, I am so super excited to see you. It's such an honor, obviously, to have a business lunch. Are you available at 1:30? Which day? Now, could be that if you have the chutzpah, the audacity, to say to a certain Sava, to dictate a time, he'll cut you off from the Yerusha. So you have to know your Sava. You have to know if he's a grouch or not. You have to know if he's Oscar the Grouch. You have to know that. You have to know who you're talking to. But not everybody's Oscar the Grouch. If you do it respectfully, then that's exactly what's going to happen in 5 years from now. In 5 years from now, you're going to have to go. You're going to be a father. 6 years now. Who knows? Each person. Everyone's looking at me like, oh, I'm crazy. Accounting. Be in college, starting to work. Each person depending. Didn't we vote that idea? How are you going to balance being able to daven seriously, to learn seriously, to be a good husband? Not simple. You have to be able to know how to balance and know how to say, this is important. That's also important. This is also important. It's true. This is where you build up that muscle to know how to have a burning yes for Torah in this case. And that's where the Gemara says that you need to go Yelchu Mechayel Ochayel. Anybody heard that pasuk? It's one of those graduates. One of those graduation speeches. But a lot of older people would say you should go Mechayel Ochayel. You heard that before? Mechayel Ochayel. You should go from strength to strength. Amen. Amen. Gemara at the end of Brachos and Samach Dalet quotes this Gemara. And he says, Yelchu Mechayel Ochayel V'yeirael Okim B'tzion. It's a pasuk at Tehillim. And the Gemara says, and it's quoted in Halacha, Hayotzei mi beit ha-Knesset v'nichnas le-beit ha-Midrash. Listen to this and listen to it very, very carefully. Because this is an ideal. That after you daven, what are you supposed to do? This is what the Halacha brings down in Siman Kuf Nun Hei. You have to be a person that is able to go from the shul, keep your tefillin on, because you're in Yeshiva HaKotel. But not only because you're Yeshiva HaKotel, because it's the right thing to do. Especially now. And I beg you to train yourselves, to untrain, to detrain, to detox some of the things that we have learned. That ki'ilu, once I know the pure halacha, that by after Revolt Zion, after this kaddish, I can take off the tefillin, give out! Hefker, I'm free! Chas v'shalom! What a schut to wear tefillin. What a schut to know that I have Shem Hashem. That it's supposed to impact me. What are we running to? That's part of my cave experience that you should go. And you're not running anywhere. There's nowhere to run to. Train yourself to be able to keep the tefillin on. Have the good, healthy thoughts. Give out. Have that hibernation. Be able to specialize. There's nowhere to run to. Keep your tefillin on. Give out. And then says the Gemara, Hayotzei mi beit ha-Knesset v'nichnas le-beit ha-Midrash v'osek b'Torah zocha mekabel p'nei ha-Shechina. This is talking about post-yeshiva. And this is what most people have thought. That's the ideal then. that what happened, I was in yeshiva, I learned, I care enough about Torah, I care enough about minyan. This is what the halacha brings down. The halacha brings down, you better make sure, lehalacha, to go and do what? To go from shul, and the halacha emphasizes, before you go to work, even though you can make a lot of money, make sure you have koveya itim l'Torah. Make sure you learn. You have a set place to learn Torah. Feman can tell you right after mincha, doesn't matter. What happens? I have a lot of things to do after mincha. For those 2 to 7 minutes, depending on the day, doesn't matter. We're there, in the base medrash from now on, learning Shari Tshuva. Doesn't stop when you're in yeshiva. But that's not the only Gemara. And that's true, what I just said. You have to be able, in yeshiva and even outside of yeshiva, to be able to go from the base Knesset to the base Medrash. But there's an unbelievable Gemara, and the truth is this is not quoted in the Halach. To be fair. But it's the same exact person who's talking, Rav Levi. It's a Gemara in Moed Katan. Literally the exact same Gemara with very important differences. The Gemara says, Moed Katan Chaf Tedam and Aleph. The same Rav Levi, but listen to him. Kol ayotzei mi beis haKnesses lebeis haMedrash. Umi beis haMedrash lebeis haKnesses. Zochel mekabel pnei haShchina. Shneemar yelchu mechayel lechayel. Yera'eh Elokim b'tzion. As opposed to people thinking that yeshiva, the cave experience, is only supposed to be one way. To go from the shul, I care enough about shul, to then go to the base medrash. You know what this Gemara says? This Gemara says that part of the yeshiva shein ve'ever in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's terminology has to be that you're comfortable, you're trained responsibly to be able to go and straggle and go from the base Knesset to the base Medrash, back to the base Knesset, back to the base Medrash. Maybe that's Pshat in the Gemara. You're not just stuck in the cave. What happens? You go in the cave and sometimes you get too much of an idealistic picture. And you're not able, explains Rav Kook, you're not able to see the good in the normal work. You're not able to see the good in people in the base Knesset. And therefore you're burning down. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Get back to the cave. Get back to the base Medrash. Make sure you're getting the yeshiva experience. You're not just looking down on people. But you know how to go from the base Knesset to the base Medrash, back to the base Knesset, back to the base Medrash. And train yourself that way. And then when you get out, you're then able to see the people having the zachor and the shamar, being able to see the good that people are doing and encouraging them and being able to be in a chabur with them and lifting them up instead of being a charev, instead of just having quote unquote that cave experience that I lifted myself up and it means everyone's down. That's not the yeshiva. The yeshiva, that's the yeshiva vayiva zesav esabachol. The yeshiva that Yaakov needed to go to is to have both of these. I believe the nafkamina is what we'll see in another 2.5 weeks. And we have a panel discussion here. The panel discussion is talking about community building. What is a lichatchila balabais? To be able to know in yourself, to think about hashkafically, how am I going to be able to make money, to understand what money is, to understand that I have to learn Choshen Mishpat, that it's not only going to be, oh, I was near my yeshiva, Shkoyach, what do you mean? You want to go into business? There's a whole Choshen Mishpat you need to learn. Heteriska Ribbis, there's a lot to do. There's a whole Choshen Mishpat, pretty fat. You got to really learn a lot. You got to learn a lot. This is just the beginning of the process. This is the challenge. We're not just in the pure cave. Some yeshivas still are. I believe the ideal lechachila yeshiva for the 21st century is right here in Yeshiva HaKadosh. Being able to mechanech you for that responsibility. Which means that some of you have gotten up at the ungodly hour of 6 o'clock in the morning to make a minyan, you mean Moshe? Now I'm a little more tired and sadder. Bittul Torah. You're right. Gemara Menachos says Bittul Torah Zoi Kiyuma. That's your responsibility. Now, is it your responsibility every single day to go do that? Pashna. But it's an achrayis in saying, wow, that I now have the ability to be comfortable to go to a Beis Knesses, impact people, and come back. Just as an example. There's so much within yeshiva to be able to have these two ideals, to think about it. And Mirtza Hashem, you're able to walk out and think about yeshiva not as just the gap. I had a student who keeps coming back from England, and a lot of his mates, not friends, blokes, mates, said to him, what are you doing? What are you going back there for? It was a nice gap here. What are you doing? And he said to him, you don't understand what yeshiva is. It's not just coming back for adrenaline. It's not what it is. It's to be able to go and to be mechazik. I was in the Beis Knesses. Now I need to go back to the Beis Medrash to continue going deeper. To be able to be zakein like Avraham Avinu. To understand from my Rebbeim the challenges that are coming. Because they're real challenges. And you have Rebbeim who understand the challenges, who are there in the world. It used to be, there was a tremendous tension to be a Masada Kiddush. Who's going to be the Masada Kiddush? Is it going to be the Rosh Hashiva? Or is it going to be your pulpit? And part of that challenge for 20 plus years was the model that I presented this evening. Because was the Beis Medrash the cave where you learned Judaism? And therefore, that is the Emes L'Amito Torah Misinai. And your pulpit rabbi is obviously an Amaretz. All he can do is be a social worker and a little good, what's it called? Psychology, what's it called? New? Not counseling? And there's a good word for it. I'm losing the word right now. Or come to me when I don't need you. Chas v'shalom, but that's how people thought. That's how people thought. But now, hopefully, when you're in this yeshiva, now I'm just annoyed. There was that word that I'm supposed to think, but I can't remember. Not sure. No. There's a great word within the clergy. There's a great word of giving pastoral care. Giving good pastoral care. That's what it's called. But unfortunately, that's what it was. That was the tension. You would fly in your Rosh Hashiva because that's what Yiddishkeit is. Now, I don't think, again, I'm getting flown in. It's not a matter of chas v'shalom. I don't disrespect the pulpit rabbis that I'm usually officiating with. Anything, I have tremendous respect. And hopefully, I was just with the pulpit rabbi that I grew up with this morning at the Bris, by Jay Marcus, who literally I model myself after how I speak, after my father of Shalom and Rabbi Marcus. When I spoke in Staten Island, when I grew up, everyone was like, whoa, is this Rabbi Marcus? Is this Rabbi Kahn? You know, that just, I had tremendous respect. I would come back after yeshiva from my cave experience. I would go to the 8 o'clock minyan, not in Young Israel, because I wanted to go to a from minyan, no talking, but I made sure to go run, to go hear his speech, because I wanted to get the sweetness of his Torah. I didn't disrespect the rabbi. Are you able to understand how to become a person who is a Beis Medrash guy and also a Beit Knesset guy and to realize that it's not a steer? That's what I challenge you. I challenge you to understand that that's what the yeshiva is. I'm happy to hear any thoughts of anybody who disagrees with me. Totally fine. And I wish everyone a lot of hatzlacha as they go from chayil l'chayil. But remember the end of the pasuk, which is v'yera Elokim b'tzion. Seeing the Shechina, both in the Beis Medrash and when you walk out of the Beis Medrash, then to come back to the Beis Medrash, back to the Beis Knesses, obviously with your tefillah. Shabbos. Thank you, Rav Cutler. Coming out. The night continues on.